pray with me here just for a second? Would you ask that the Lord would have his way over the next few minutes of time? Father, in the name of Jesus, we want your will above all else, Father. We desire after you. We desire after your leading. Why don't you stand with me for just a second here? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you can be seated. I have continued to wait upon the things that Brother Heiner talked about Wednesday night and our ultimate calling in our homes. If you weren't here Wednesday night, I would challenge you to, if you have time, to go to the website and give a listen. Our families and our homes are under a constant attack by the enemy. And, you know, the scripture talks about in one location about being watchmen on the wall. And the watchman's responsibility was to call out in danger and to warn the city, to warn the warriors of the city, the people of the city, of oncoming danger, so they could fortify the city and prepare for attack. And I believe that the Word of God, the Spirit of God, through individuals in the congregation, through ministries, can serve and act as that watchman to give warning to us of things that are forthcoming. And our, this time of the year when our children are heading back to school and becoming back involved in a community of children, can at times bring about different spiritual elements in our homes. I know that not all the children here, all the students, are in public school, but there's still different elements and co-ops and different things that kids are involved in. And so I believe that it's imminent. It's important that we're careful in our guarding our home, our families, our lives. Amen. First Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1 through 13. And can you go to the New Living Translation, Sergi, please? First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 says, I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, what happened. Everybody say, what happened? To our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. Period. Paul's writing to the church, and I've breezed through this, I've read through this portion of scripture multiple times, but something really began to stick out to me the last time I read this, and I felt the leading of the Holy Ghost from my life personally, and I want to share some thoughts with you today on this portion of scripture. But he says, I don't want you to forget what happened to our ancestors in the wilderness. Excuse me. For God guided all of them by sending a cloud that moved along ahead of them. And he brought them all safely through the waters of the sea on dry ground. Verse 2. As followers of Moses, they were all baptized in the cloud and in the sea. And all of them ate the same miraculous food. And all of them drank the same miraculous water, for they all drank from the miraculous rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet after all this, and we don't necessarily, I feel like I personally in my ministry and walk with God have stopped at verse 4. And we talk about how all these things were written unto us for examples, and they are our example until the end of the world about this being baptized in the sea, Brother Toms, and watching the Egyptians that were chasing them into the sea be washed away by the power of God, never to see them anymore, and the type and the shadow of baptism and how he washes away our sins, and we've shouted about the miracle of the water that came out of the rock. And we've shouted about the miracle of manna that rained down. And I, for the first time, begin to see it from a different perspective. And I believe the perspective from which Paul was writing from to the New Testament church. His perspective, I believe, was this. He started out in verse 1 by saying, "Don't forget, dear brothers and sisters, that there was how many ever 100,000 of them that came out of there? And every single one of them got to experience the same spiritual blessing that the other one did, Brother Cool. You know, in that wilderness experience, or maybe we'll call it the Exodus experience, you didn't experience anything that I didn't experience, because you got to scrape up off the ground that morning the same manna that I did, and you got to slurp that nice, cold, crisp water out of the rock that I did. You got to see that cloud move across the desert as the Lord led us to move on, just like I did. It was equal opportunity for everybody. Everybody got to see and experience the same miracles. And he says, yet after this, God was not well pleased with most of them. And he destroyed them in the wilderness. Verse 6. These events happened as a warning to us that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. For the scripture said, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking. They indulged themselves in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did, for that is why God sent his angel of death to destroy them. All these events happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the time when this age is drawing to a close. This was written by Paul, the church in Corinth. He is a part of what most of us would consider the first church still. Here we are. We think we live in the end of days. We look around at our current circumstances, Brother Cool, and we think we're living at the end of time. And Paul's writing to the church saying, you know, this age is drawing to a close. In his mind, he was looking at all the things that were happening in the church and saying, be careful. This stuff's happening as the age is drawing to a close. I think we're going to read into verse 12. If you think you are standing strong, be careful. For you too may fall into the same sin. But remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it. I don't know why it is that we can come into atmospheres like we experience on a yearly basis, some of us a lifetime. They're really no different, Brother Toms, than what those involved with the miraculous exodus out of Egypt experienced. And sometimes we can put on our pharisaical hats and tighten up and button up our suit coat and cross our proverbial arms and read the Old Testament and say, "What is wrong with you guys? After all that God did for you, and after all the miracles that God performed for you, and after all the ways that he brought you out of Egypt with all of your master's goods in their hands and the gold and the silver and all the things that they had brought with them and all the ways he blessed them and kept them with the blood over the doorpost and covered them and rolled the sea back and caused manna to fall down and all the things that he did for them. Why in the world, when those spies came back, did you buy into the 10 and refuse to believe the 2? What is wrong with you that you would have experienced all the goodness and grace and mercy of God, yet you still found place to grumble and complain to the point where you angered God that he wiped you out? After all that God delivered you from and brought you out of and the immorality and the failure and the grossness of sin that Egypt represented and how they treated them and what they did to them, if you think, and the kids are gone today, so I'm gonna say this, if you think that there wasn't sexual immorality going on with the people of God, not amongst the people of God, but with the people of God, by the people of Egypt, then you're naive. It was rampant in the land of Egypt. God brought them out of that. And so, you know, you look at that and you say, then why in the world would you go out into the wilderness amongst all the miracles and fall into sexual immorality? Why? You read through these things and you read the Old Testament and you just shake your head. After God showed his mighty hand to you, I mean, let's just think about going to bed at night and your view. Everybody, you know, likes their view, you know, sit on the back porch and as the sun goes down, look at my view. I got a beautiful view, you know. Their view was this pillar of fire that just burned in the atmosphere above them. I mean, what a way to go down at night. That's what they got to experience. That was their life. So after experiencing that, why in the world would you go get all your possessions and gather them together and melt them down and create an idol that you could worship? When he gave you a manifestation of his power in real life living form. I mean, other than creation today, if, you know, I understand there's a lot of earthy people in this region, you know. They like to, you know, this is the region of the hikers and backpackers and all the people, you know, that like to get out in the outdoors. And I enjoy that. I hiked to the top of a hill. It wasn't even a mountain. I hiked to the top of a hill a few months ago. And I was taken aback by the beauty of God. That is his power. What he did, what he created. I was breathtaking at what he did in creation. What he allowed to transpire in the flood and all the things that have molded and shaped this place called planet Earth that we live on, the things that he's spoken to existence and the things that where he's put me at geographically, I get to experience. I'm still amazed every time I drive Highway 90 to 82 to Yakima. I drive and I'm just like, my goodness, I could live in Kansas where there is nothing but a molehill and cornfields. I could live in Nebraska where you drive the whole day on flat, straight highway and you don't see anything. I could live there, but he's placed me here in the middle of this beautiful creation. And that's all I get.
I get to experience his power, but I get to see his hand at work and all these things. And they got this pillar of fire. They got this cloud that led them by day. They got to physically see him at work in their lives, and they still wanted an idol. They got to go pick up with their own hands this stuff called manna, this bread-like, wafer-like substance that came down every day, every morning with the dew upon the ground. They got to pick it up. Actually, the scripture says the dew came first, then the manna, so they didn't get dirty and they didn't pick up a bunch of dust because they were out in the desert. So he caused the dew to fall. Then the manna fell on the dew so that the manna didn't get dirty. I mean, come on!
Oh, I want an idol. I want to live in sexual immorality. This just isn't enough.
Do you understand why God wiped them out? Come on, what's wrong with you? I mean, if you've ever gone on a hike, if you go to some of these peaks, you go to like Rattlesnake Ridge, or you go to Mount Si, or you go to Mailbox Peak, there's always a big rock outcropping. That's the pinnacle. That's where everyone's trying to get to. They get up on top of that rock outcropping, and if you stand on top of them, they're just, it's unbelievable. There's just these massive rocks that are at the peaks of these mountains, and you stand on them, and you see for miles. To think that by the direction of the Holy Ghost, by the word of God, a stick held by a man touched that, and water started pouring out of it. Think about that for a minute. And yet after all that,
you make us an idol. We really want something we can worship.
The silliness. Foolishness, Sister Allen, just foolishness. What's wrong with you? These are logical questions, right? Or am I crazy? These are logical questions. But here's, so let's fast forward. Here's Brother Paul. He's writing a letter to the church that gets recorded in the Word of God. He pins it, inspired by the Holy Ghost. It gets recorded in the Word of God, and it gets passed along generation after generation, thousands and hundreds of years later. And here's me in the 21st century, 2016, reading the Word of God, and he's saying to me, the Holy Ghost is speaking to me and saying, now don't forget that all of our brothers and sisters that went before us, they all got to experience the sea. And they all got to experience the rock. And they all got to experience the manna. And they all got to experience the miraculous. But even in the midst of all that, that's his point being, that's not a buffer to keep me saved. And they saw that, and in the midst of that, they still got sidetracked. They still lost focus of what it was that God was wanting to do in them and who they were as people. And so he said, around verse 5, he said, "This, take this as a warning to you. Throughout my years, I've watched people who God has just done incredible things for them. They've testified to me personally of the greatness of God, and I've seen God just pour out his blessings upon them, and they've got to witness the miraculous sometimes in ways that I haven't even witnessed. They've got to see things and miracles at their very own hands, and they just, oh my goodness, you sit down and you'd pay $5 for 5 minutes to be in their presence and just listen to them tell the stories of the miraculous things that God has done through them. You know people like that. Yet 6, 8, 10 months, 12 months, few years down the road, you hear that you don't believe the truth anymore. Oh yeah, they fell into sin. They went off this direction. They did this, they did that. And you question as a human being, what happened? And Paul is writing here and he's saying, I'm writing this to tell you that nobody is excluded from this.
whether you've been in this thing 6 days, 6 hours, or 6 decades. We're all human. We're all flesh. He knows all of our frames. He sees us. He formed us in our mother's womb. He is fully aware of our weakness, as we learned about from the book of Hebrews on Wednesday night. He knows our weaknesses. He is aware of every single one of our shortcomings. You know, I was reading a scripture here the other day. Just hold on just 1 second. I can find it because I wrote it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. The New Living Translation says, "Don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns. For he will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due." He knows our frame. I can look at an individual and I can say, "Wow, that guy, man, he's got it all together and everything's great and awesome." And God says, "Be careful. Because there's coming a day in the sweet by and by, and I'm looking forward to it, where we get swept away and we stand before him at that day of judgment. And then he and he alone will reveal, because there are things only he knows about. He will reveal the deepest, darkest secrets of our life. And then he and he alone will judge us based on that." And so Paul's helping us to understand nobody's excluded from this. And he begins to warn us. He immediately goes into the communication of temptation. This is what it's all about. They were tempted in the wilderness. They became tempted. They became dissatisfied with what they saw and what God was doing in them. And so they went. And one scripture in the New Testament, the cool, it says that they went a whoring after other gods. Pretty strong language. I think somewhere in those latter books of the prophets, didn't he refer them to a prostitute? Becoming dissatisfied with who they were in God and what God was doing in them and wanted to do in them. And the temptation, they gave in to temptation. When the temptation presented itself to follow after other gods, when the temptation presented itself to grumble and complain, when the temptation presented itself to involve themselves in immorality, they caved into it. With all of their spiritualness that they had. I mean, this is, can I just paint a picture here for a minute? Anybody here ever, do you remember youth camp? Anybody go to youth camp? Anybody remember youth camps? You raise your hand. You remember youth camps, youth convention? Great times in Jesus. I was discussing Friday night with someone about youth camps, and they said, really, you know, youth camps are just, they're just this great, perfect haven for apostolic young people. Because it's all apostolic. Everybody, you know, you can just be yourself because everybody believes, like, it's fun. It's a good time. And services are awesome because everybody comes and everybody's, you know, amped up and everybody wants to have a good time and they're worshiping Jesus. Forgive me, but I kind of envision that wilderness journey out of Egypt much the same way. If you couldn't live for God in the middle of a whole bunch of people that were God's chosen people, God delivered, God did the miracle. If you couldn't live for God in that commune, then where could you live for God at? If you couldn't remain faithful to him in those scenarios,
How much more, Brother Paul is writing to the church, are you who are living in Corinth in corruption, and as the world was falling apart even in their day, and homosexuality coming in, and fornication, adultery running rampant in these cities, and prostitutes who hung out in the temples of these gods, and all the garbage that was going on that they were walking past on a daily basis, how much more should you be guarded, dear brothers and sisters? Because you're living in the last days, the end of times. And so here we are in 2016, September 2016. And if we think for a moment that we can let our guard down, if we believe for a moment that, well, you know, I'm spiritually, I've been in this way for a long time. My parents brought me into this way. I was born in this way. Be careful. Because if all of those who experienced all that we've already discussed, if they fell into temptation in the wilderness, of all places. It wasn't like poor Lot, brother Lot, living downtown Sodom and Gomorrah, men of the city trying to get into the angels that were coming to. We're not talking about that. We're talking about out in the middle of nowhere with clouds and pillars of fire that couldn't stay saved. I remember Jesus' words, and I'm about to come to a close. Jesus' words to his disciples after the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." This idea of watching and praying. You know, when I pray in my personal prayer time, I'm using this as an example. I'm not saying this literally. In my personal prayer time, generally when I pray, I like that row right there. I like to lay down on that row. Just comfortable. Put my face in the, because I can knock out distractions. And if I'm not careful, in a sense, that's how I can live my life. Well, I'm going to shut in with God, and I'm going to try to push everything else out. His word to his disciples were watch and keep an eye out. Be aware of what you're entering into. Be careful of watch what conversation you're entering into. Watch what website you allow yourself to venture to. Watch. You know, I spent about a year and a half off of all social media. I just wanted to. I did it, proved I could do it. And then I got back on Instagram, and I could not believe in a year and a half how much smut is on there. I'm not talking about going and looking for it. I'm talking about Instagram putting it in a feed. People I don't even know. I got on there so I could stay connected to friends and family. And Instagram says, something you might like. Yeah, I don't think so. Watch. Be careful. Keep an eye out. Because it's amazing the subtle way. Brother Heiner talking about mice a few months ago. Those little cracks that they work their way into a desk drawer somehow. How do they do it? I don't know, but the enemy's much like that. And he just needs a little crack in the door of my life. Because all of us are different. We all have different. We all come from different backgrounds. We have different lives, different approaches to life. And only you know
You know, I can watch a football game and see a Budweiser commercial and it doesn't mean a thing to me. There might be people in this room who see a Budweiser commercial and it sends them over the edge. They got to go find a bar or a grocery store. I'm not exaggerating. You know what that door is. You know what that crack is in your life. Watch. Pray. Watch. Pray. Be careful. Jesus told Peter, he says, I'm praying for you because the enemy hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He's going to shake you up. He's going to rock you around. And you're going to fail. Oh, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. You're going to stumble. You're going to make a mistake. When you recover, help somebody else. Because all of us are susceptible. You can't get spiritual enough. If you believe today that you're achieving, you're an attempt to achieve some spiritual place where you will suddenly have a Star Wars, Star Trek type of shield around you, where you will suddenly be so close to Jesus that you are no longer penetratable by sin. Stop now and just get close to Jesus and keep your eyes open. Watch. Let faith be your shield. Let the word of God be a protection. In Jesus' name, pray with me right now. Father, you know my frame, you know my weaknesses, you know my shortcomings. You use your word to give warning to us as the church, Father. You wrote these things. You gave us the Old Testament. You gave us the book of Exodus. You gave us the stories as an example to us, as a warning to us, and how quickly things can get in the way, as how quickly we can succumb to temptation, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus. Let your grace prevail. I pray, make your way of escape. Make it clear today, Father, in the name of Jesus, to every person in this room. Why don't you stand and reach out to the Lord right now? He is providing in this hour a way of escape for you. That's what his word says. With every temptation, he provides a way of escape. Heed the warning of his word. Take his escape today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, this altar is open today if you want to talk to the Lord about your situation, what you're facing, things that you're struggling with. Come talk to him about that. Let him show you that way of escape. You may think, man, there's no way out of this. I'm closed in. I fail constantly. Don't leave that way today. Let the Holy Ghost talk to you. Let the Holy Ghost show you his way of escape. In Jesus' name. Father, you desire to minister to me. You desire to work in me today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for the example, Father. Thank you for the example of your word. Those that went before, Father, those who you've used to help us, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
session of recommitment and renewal. Could we do that right now? Why don't you come and stand in this altar? A time of recommitment, of renewal now in the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus.
Still has the power, wonderful power, to heal our diseases, to cover our weakness. Still has the power, wonderful power, to heal our diseases, to cover our weakness. On the hill there's a cross, on the cross there is blood.
Make it your song right now.
On the hill there's a cross, on the cross there is blood for me, for me. Still has the power, wonderful power, to heal our diseases,
relationship with a man by the name of Abraham. It was Abraham that he selected and called out. He said, look, if you'll follow me, I'll lead you somewhere to a city whose builder and maker is God. And he gave him promises. Have you received promises in your lifetime from the Lord? He promised to do and work through him in ways he had not been used. He said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I'm going to give to you many children. He spoke of kings and priests that would come through his lineage. The only thing he didn't tell him was, I've gave you a barren wife. And so Abraham was expected to wait on the Lord and believe him for these promises, but you know, just like us sometimes, time passes. Evidence doesn't show up. Evidence of the promises or the fulfillment of the promises. And so we question ourselves. We question whether or not we really heard from God or not. Or we question because of our failures. Maybe he changed his mind. I marvel when I go into the Word of the Lord and read how after that season of time passed and Abraham and Sarah tried to figure out how to fulfill God's purpose and plan to have children by involving Hagar and then the producing of an Ishmael and then dealing with the guilt involved of having tried in their own humanity to bring the promises of God upon their lives, and what guilt and failure does to us as human beings in our perception to God's approach to us. Yet you go to the Word of God and you read how the Lord came back to the same man and began to reiterate the same promise, never making mention on what he had done or the past. And it's almost like he's coming to him for the first time and says, look, the time of life, this time of life, you know, and this time next year, your wife, she's going to have a baby. I know she's old, but you know what? That don't matter. What I told you, you know, some time ago, I'm telling you again now. Now, come on, let's go. And it's like God comes in alongside him and walks with him just as he had started some time ago when he led him out from his own country. You know, only God can do that. We human beings, we think about all the details along the way and all the problems and all the failures and all the mistakes. We look at humanity and think, man, you know, couldn't you wait with me but a while? But God has the ability to come to you and I and say, come on, let's finish this journey we started. You know what he said to Peter? You're going to fail, Peter. You're going to make some mistakes. I prayed for you. I've interceded for you. And you're going to come to the other side of this, and it's going to be all right. And you're going to be used through the experience even of your failures. You're going to be used to help others who are going to have weak times just like you are. Only God can do that. Only God can come to you and I in such a way and to carry us on in the journey. You realize because he says, look, I said it, now I'm going to perform it. I promised and I'm going to bring it to pass. Only God can do that. We have a baptism today. Brother Pablo Chan has been giving a Bible study.